Six Music.
BBC Radio Six Music Documentaries.
Hello and welcome, I'm Matt Everett and this is The First Time on Six Music, where we speak to some of music's most influential figures about the pivotal first moments that shaped their lives and their careers, the events and songs that led them to be who and where they are today. In this final episode of The First Time, I speak to probably the greatest American composer and producer of popular music in the rock genre, one of its true geniuses, but also sadly, one of its casualties, Mr. Brian Wilson. Here, Brian, now 69, gives a rare interview and discusses his early influences, his experiments recording music on a tape machine aged just 16, and the huge difficulties he had creating Beach Boys masterpieces like Good Vibrations, Pet Sounds, and their great lost album from 1967, Smile, a box set of which is being released later this month. We also talk about his experiences taking drugs and how that influenced his songs, and then sadly, how that forced his withdrawal from music, as well as talking about his celebrated return to the stage in 2004. Since a nervous breakdown in the late 60s, Brian has suffered mental problems, and here his fragile mental state does make him a hesitant interviewee, but his humour and his passion for music still shines through. First question is a pretty simple one. When were you first aware of music when you were a child? What was the first music you heard?
I was 2 years old when I heard Rhapsody in Blue. That's when I started to listen to music. I couldn't say to myself or remember, hey, I love this song, because I wasn't able to talk, right? But I remember hearing it later on. I remember hearing it, but not until like many years, like 28 years old.
And it had a massive effect on you straight away.
Yeah, yeah, it did. I was like blown away. And then when I was 28, I learned how to play that pretty part, the violin section. I went from my hi-fi set back to my piano, back and forth to the piano until I learned it.
The sort of legend is that you could sing even before you could talk when you were really small. Is that true?
No.
Did you come from a very musical household? Is your family
My dad was a good songwriter. My mom could play organ good, too.
What sort of records did they have about the house?
Well, they had Les Paul and Mary Ford records and Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Did you love that stuff yourself?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
Your first performance, can you remember the first time that you sort of sang as a kid? Was it in a choir, church choir?
No, my first thing was at a high school assembly. I sang with Mike Love came over and sang Bermuda Shorts, a song called Bermuda, Bermuda, Bermuda Shorts.
Bermuda, Bermuda.
I sang that at a school assembly.
Bermuda, Bermuda Shorts, Bermuda, Bermuda, Bermuda Shorts, Bermuda, Bermuda, Bermuda Shorts, Bermuda, Bermuda.
Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy performing?
Yeah, it was a thrill.
The Four Freshmen, that was one of the vocal influences on you. Can you remember hearing their records for the first time and kind of wanting to work out how those vocals were blended?
Well, I learned two things. One, I learned how to sing falsetto from Bob Flanagan, the high voice in The Four Freshmen. I learned how to sing, I used to imitate him at my piano, and I wrote Surfer Girl after I heard The Freshmen. Yeah. And their harmonies taught me harmony, too. I never dreamed there could be that kind of harmony till I heard that harmony.
It's a blue world. see the sky, my heart and I, we're all an indigo hue. Without you, it's a
Your first tape recorder, because this is obviously quite an important thing for you.
Yeah, it was a tape recorder that I used. You can ping pong back and forth. So I learned to sing all four parts on my tape recorder of the freshman songs.
Were you always immediately interested in production and how to technically do these things?
Well, I didn't know much about it technically, but it was like a little mini four track, you know.
How old were you when you were doing that?
I was 15.
15? Yeah. And you fell in love with the layering of the voices straight away?
Oh, I absolutely loved it, yeah.
Surfing was the first single by the Beach Boys, which you recorded, didn't you, in your own house?
Surfing?
How did that happen? Tell me about that.
We wrote it in our house.
Right.
We recorded it at a studio. My dad's publisher, we recorded at his place.
What do you remember from that session?
I remember it was raining the night we cut it, and I looked out the door and it was pouring down rain, and it was just a mood, you know. We did the Surfer Girl that night.
First singles are always quite an important thing. Do you remember hearing it on the radio for the first time?
Right, yeah. When we heard it on the radio, my family, what happened was, they go, all right, call in and vote for your favorite song, you know.
Yeah.
So I called, all right, this is... So-and-so, I'd like to make Surfing a Please. And hi, can you please play Surfing? You know, so Surfing won. And so they played Surfing. My family goes, it's on the radio! Surfing's on the radio!
Surfing is the only life, the only way for me now. Surf, surf with me. Bob, dip 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 bob, dip dip. I got up this morning, turned on my radio. I was checking out the surfing scene to see if I would go. And when the DJ tells me that the surfing is fine, that's when I know my baby and I will have a good time. Going surfing, bob, dip 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 surfing, bob, dip dip surfing, bob, dip 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 surfing, bob, dip dip. Surfing is the only life, the only way for me now. Surf, surf with me.
Bob, dip, 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 bob, dip, dip.
From the early morning to the middle of the night, anytime a surf is up, the time is right. And when the surf is down to take its place, we'll do the surfer stomp. It's the latest dance craze. Surfing,
bob, dip, dip, dip,
surfing,
bob, dip, dip, dip,
surfing,
bob.
Surfing is the only life, the only way for me now. Surf, surf with me.
Bob, dip, 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 bob, bob, dip, dip.
Now the dawn is breaking and we really gotta go, but we'll be back here very soon, that you better know. Yeah, my surfing knots are rising and my board is losing wax, but that won't stop me, baby, 'cause you know I'm coming back. Surfing is the only life, the only way for me now. Come on, pretty baby, and surf with me, yeah.
It started an incredible run of hit singles for you, an astonishing run of hit singles in the States. Did you enjoy getting that much exposure? Because, you know, that's a lot of success.
Of course I would. Wouldn't you be?
I don't know, because some people, you know, if you work very hard at being a musician, sometimes the attention can be quite intimidating. You enjoyed
right.
it.
Yeah.
Out of those early run of singles, I mean, you got Surfer Girl, Surfing Safari, Surfing USA. Could you feel your songwriting developing as the songs were going as each album came out?
Well, then after we did the Surfing, I wrote Surfing Safari in 409. And Mike Love wrote the lyrics, you know. And we took a little tour around California, went to Riverside, San Bernardino, and did, you know, local local gigs and stuff. Yeah, quite a memory.
It must. I mean, it must have been. You know, it's like Beatlemania. It's Beach Boys mania to be screamed at and to have all that attention. What did it feel like? It must have been amazing.
Well, it was quite a thrill.
That's an underestimation. It was a thrill.
Well, yeah, it was of course. You know.
In my room.
63, the Surfer Girl album was the first time that you were credited as a producer,
right,
in your own right. Have you always felt very at home in the studio environment?
Yeah, yes, very much so.
And in terms of that album, could you feel your skills developing and your ideas starting to expand?
Well, yeah. We from the time we first wrote Surfing up until Surfing USA, when Surfing USA came, the boys were becoming popular around the country.
Can you remember your first trip to England?
First trip to England?
Yeah.
1964.
What was it like?
I went to Piccadilly Square with my brother Dennis and fed the birds, pigeons.
Because we loved you over here. I think, you know, there was so much love.
I know,
for the band.
I noticed that the people over here like us quite a bit, you know.
Which is because I think maybe that the Californian image was so very, very different to what right. It was like in Britain in the 60s.
Yes, exactly.
You released so much music, so many albums in that period. Did you find it easy to write at that time? Because it seemed like it.
The songs just poured out of us, you know.
How does it work in the studio then?
Well, when we get in the studio, after the songs were written or before?
Before.
Well, we can't go to the studio until we write a song.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the studio, and then from there I hear it in my head. When I hear it over the speakers, I go, let me hear the bass and the drums, please. You know, like that. And I go, how about the guitar? Let me hear Al, let me hear your voice, you know. Like ping pong back and forth and get all the different ingredients together.
Because this is the thing it's something you've said before about you have the music in your head fully formed. And you just have to play it so it matches it. Did you hear these songs so complete in your mind?
Yes.
That must be incredibly... It's such a gift to have, but also very frustrating to try and recreate something that's so perfect in your head.
Yes, yes.
What are those songs that you think you got it perfectly right when you were like, the sound in my head was the sound that came out of this?
The sound in my head, for example, was Surfing USA.
Why that one? Does it just...
Because... It starts out, if everybody had ooh, then ooh, bah, across the U.S., ooh, bah, like that, you know?
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be surfing like California. You'd see them wearing their baggies, Huarache sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hair. You'll catch him surfing at
inside, outside, USA.
Ventura County line,
inside, outside, USA.
Santa Cruz and
Trinidad,
inside, outside, USA.
Inside, outside, USA.
All over Manhattan,
inside, outside, USA.
And down the Bahini Way,
inside, outside.
Everybody's gone
surfing
USA. We'll all be planning out a route. We're gonna take real soon.
Phil Spector was someone else that you admired greatly. Can you remember hearing some of his records for the first time and thinking, wow, he's going somewhere interesting?
When I was 21, I was driving down the street and they go, here we go with Be My Baby by the Ronettes. And I listened to it and I had to pull my car over the side of the road because it blew me out so much. I had to pull over to the side of the road and, you know, it just totally devastated me.
So you're kind of like, right, okay, next time I go in the studio, I'm going to beat that.
Yeah. And then I met Phil Spector at his recording studio, Gold Star, and I told him, I said, that's, you know, Baby's the greatest record I ever heard. He goes, well, I think Then He Kissed Me was a pretty good record, too.
What was he like?
He was a character.
This is the first time on Six Music with me, Matt Everett, and my guest this week is Brian Wilson. And that was Be My Baby by the Ronettes, produced in 1963 by Phil Spector, a huge influence on Brian, but someone who he would eclipse with his greatest achievement, the album Pet Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
Love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. Show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without.
I'm Matt Everett, this is Six Music, and this is The First Time. And I'm proud to say my guest this week is one of music's true geniuses, Brian Wilson. And that was from the Beach Boys' 1966 album, Pet Sounds. That was God Only Knows, quite simply one of the most beautiful songs ever recorded. By the mid-60s, the Beach Boys were enjoying huge success following a massive string of international hit singles. But the pressure of touring was proving too much for Brian Wilson. And following an anxiety attack before a show, he announced he'd stop touring and concentrate on working in the studio. I asked him when he first decided to withdraw from playing live.
Right, in 1965, I told the guys, I said, look, I want to stay here in town and write songs for you. You guys go out and do the tour, and I'll stay home and write the music. And they Mike Love had a little tear, you know, I could see the guys were a little sad to hear that, but when they came back off tour, they were very proud of what I had written for them, you know.
Well, this is it. I mean, 1966, Pet Sounds kind of changed.
Right.
Changed everything. It's funny because it took a while in America. When it first came out in the States, people didn't quite know what to make of it. In the UK, we were just like, we loved it straight away. Can you remember people's reactions when they heard it for the first time?
People called me up, John Lennon called me up and said, Brian, I love your album Pet Sounds, you know. And I got a friend of mine named Lou Adler called me and said the same thing. You know, people. And then all of a sudden, after a couple of months, after it was released, I had all kinds of phone calls about it, you know. Absolute rave. People were absolutely blown away by it.
Because when you were making it, you must have known you were doing something different.
Oh,
something
yeah, new. I could tell because I could tell by how my fingers felt on the piano, you know. Well, when you take a little bit of drugs, you know, and you have a keyboard, and you have yourself and your collaborator and your keyboard. That's all you got.
The story is that you heard Rubber Soul by the Beatles, and that inspired you to make Pet Sounds.
Oh, well, Rubber Soul is the best album ever made.
It's my favorite Beatles album.
It's my favorite album, period.
Really?
Oh, I think it was fantastic.
One, two, three, four.
Do it again.
Yeah. One, two, three, four.
Okay. You did mention that Pet Sound is kind of meant to herald the psychedelic era. Can you remember the first time that you took drugs? Can you remember?
Took drugs?
That scene around you in California.
1964, August of 1964, I was turned on to a drug called marijuana. And then my friend called it pot. He goes, you want to try something that you won't believe? He goes, smoke this and then drink a glass of water. See how the water tastes. So I took some tokes on a marijuana joint, and about 10 minutes later I went, oh, I never really tasted water before. Oh, I've never really heard music before, you know, like that. I've never heard music ever like this.
I have to ask you about Good Vibrations, which is, in my mind, I think it's your greatest work. Do you think it's one of your greatest achievements?
Well, it was an achievement of record, but it was a labor of love. But you know what? It's hard to get that song out of my head, you know?
Still?
Yeah, I just kind of a tough time getting my head out of that, Good Vibrations.
How long is it? It took a long time to make that record, didn't it?
How long? 6 weeks, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why was it so hard?
Well, because, I don't know. Who knows?
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Now, softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations, she's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up she's by my excitation. Vibrations are happening with her. Gotta keep those love good. Vibrations are happening with her. Gotta keep those love good. Vibrations.
which is has to be the great lost album of popular music up until quite recently. What happened to Smile? Why didn't it get completed as a follow-up album to Pet Sounds?
I mean, in 1967?
Mm-hmm, the first one.
Because we were taking drugs and we thought, oh, we're too far ahead of our time, and we shelved it. We threw it on the shelf.
It must have been very difficult to stop working on something you were so involved in.
Yes, it was, but we were very, 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 very concerned with how far into it we were getting, you know.
You called it, and has been quoted, a teenage symphony
to God.
What does that mean? It's a beautiful phrase. What did you mean?
You know, my friend Van Dyke Parks, collaborator, came up with that, and I never knew what he meant, you know. I never really knew what he meant by that.
It just sounds right.
Right. Sounds good, but I don't know what it meant.
And now you've collected together so many outtakes and versions for the Smile Sessions box. How many hours of music did you have to get through? Did you have
150 hours of music. A lot of music, yeah.
What were the surprises? Were there any tracks you'd forgotten about? Or?
No, actually, when I heard those tapes, at least more than half of them, I didn't remember. See, we were so stoned on drugs that it'd be impossible to remember, you know? That's like, it was like the first time I ever heard music, almost, you know.
What was it like going back and listening to the stuff that you'd been working on that long ago?
It was a little bit of a scary feeling, you know, but like a very proud feeling, you know.
Do you wish that you'd finished it at the time? Do you wish you'd got a chance to finish that record?
No.
A diamond necklace played the pawn, hand in hand, son drove the long walk. Democracy. Back through the opera glass, you see the pit in the pendulum drawn. The comedic room is gone. Canvas the town and brush the background. Are you sleeping? Taking me, dim chandelier, awaken me to a song dissolved in the dark. The music hall, a cosmic bow. The music all that's lost for now to a beauty trumpeter's swan. Strike the street, quicksilver moon. Carriage across the fog, two step to lamp, light cellar tune. The laughs come hard in auld lang syne. The glass was raised to fire and rose the fullness of the wine, the dim last toasting. Surfs up, board a tidal wave. Come about hard and join the young and often spring you gave. I heard the word, wonderful thing, a children's song. Thank you.
Smile Kind of Hell did you backing away from the Beach Boys.
Right.
Did you fall out of love with music for a while, do you think? Because you kind of stopped recording for a while and you didn't play live.
Yeah. Actually, I did. I went through a dry period, yeah.
And what sparked it off again?
My wife. She said, you got to get cracking, Brian. You get off your ass and start making music, you know.
Because the first solo album, people were so happy to have you back.
Right.
And that kicked off you re-recording Smile, and then that followed by a tour. That tour got, I think, the best reviews of any tour I think I've ever read. Do you remember that debuting Smile live? Do you remember that? Royal Festival Hall, I think?
Yeah.
What was it like?
I can't explain it. It was just a different world.
People often call you a genius. They call you a songwriting genius, which is kind of like, it's, and you're Brian Wilson. It's this enormous reputation. Are you comfortable with that?
Oh, yeah, of course. What if someone said you're a genius to you? Yeah?
I'd love it.
Yeah, it make you feel good.
But, like, you know, it's like having a musical Jesus in the room. Like, people will be looking in the studio.
Right, Brian, right, exactly.
Does that freak
I'm
you
a little
out?
I'm paranoid about that, yeah. I mean, I have my paranoia.
But it's love, though. It's done with love. People love your
right.
music so much.
I have definitely an ear out for people liking my music, you know? Because that's the only music I got, you know?
It's pretty good music, though.
Yeah, it is. It's impressive.
What's next for you? What are your next projects that you're going to be working on?
Next project is going to be... I'm going to get together with my friend Joe and Jeff, and we're going to record some songs. We don't know really what they're for. Beach Boy, we're not going to do it for the Beach Boys, at least for now. But just for our own good, we're just trying to get some good stuff written.
How's songwriting for you these days? Do you find it easy?
Yeah, it's starting to happen again. I have a song called Shelter, which I'm happy about. And, yeah.
Is the stuff lots of beautiful harmonies and lovely arrangements?
Yeah, it's going to be good harmonies. I've already have some of it. Jeff and I already have some of it kind of like in the works. Yeah.
And is the music still in your head?
Yeah.
Final thing we have to do on the show is ask you for a record. We have all these firsts, and the final record can be chosen by you. It can be anything. We can play one of your songs, we can play a song by a favorite artist, a new song, an old song. What should we finish the show?
I would like you to play Do Run Run by the Crystals.
Why that song?
Because I love the beat, I like the rhythm on it. Yeah.
Then we shall finish that. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
I'm tired of the city. This is BBC Radio
6 Music.
Six Music.
Right now, it's Chris Hawkins.